Well, dear ones, happy Lent. Huh? Yeah. I'm not being facetious here. Indeed, tonight is a night we celebrate. I hope it feels like a big relief because we don't have to pretend tonight. Tonight we get to be honest about the world that is messy and broken. In a few minutes, we're going to go into this long time of confession and name before God all the ways we have messed up. We are not enough. And we ask for mercy. And the spoiler alert is, God loves us, right? Tonight, we remember that we are this messy dust. And to dust we shall return, hopefully some very far off day. Tonight is not meant to be a morbid night. My prayer indeed for you is that this honesty feels like a release, a chance for you to lower your shoulders and take down your defenses and breathe a little deeper. You don't have to pretend to be a superhuman anymore. For tonight, together with Christians around the world, we admit we cannot do it all. We cannot be it all. We cannot love as we ought, share as we are supposed to, the should-haves, the could-haves, all of it. The world is broken. And yet tonight, God reminds us, we are simply dust. We are fragile and finite, and this is exactly how God created us to be. It's okay. Yesterday, I was reminded of this little book I bought a long time ago, written by a Lutheran pastor and hobbyist cartoonist, Daniel Erlander, and it's entitled The Tales of Pointless People. I just want to read to you a short section of it. In the beginning, God didn't just make one or two people. God made a bunch of us. God wanted us to have lots of fun. And said, you can't really have fun unless there's a whole gang of you. So God put us all in this sort of playground park place called Eden and told us to enjoy. At first, we did have fun, just like God expected. We played all the time. We rolled down the hills, waded in the streams, climbed the trees, swung on the vines, ran in the meadows, frolicked in the woods, hid in the forest and acted silly. We laughed a lot. Then one day the snake told us that we weren't having any real fun because we weren't keeping score. Back then we didn't know what score was. When he explained it, we still couldn't see the fun. But he said that we should give an apple to the person who was the best at playing, and we'd never know who was the best unless we kept score. We could all see the fun of that. We were all sure we were the best. It was different after that. We yelled a lot. We had to make up new scoring rules for the most of the games we played. Other games like frolicking, we just stopped playing because they were too hard to score. By the time God found out about our new fun, we were only spending about 45 minutes a day in actual playing and the rest of the time working out the score. God was wroth about that. Very, very wroth. God said we couldn't use the garden anymore because we weren't having any fun. We said we were having lots of fun. God shouldn't have gotten upset just because it wasn't exactly the kind of fun he had in mind. God wouldn't listen. God kicked us out and said we couldn't come back until we stopped keeping score. And to rub it in, to get our attention, God told us that we were all going to die anyway. And our scores wouldn't mean anything. You'll have to look at the cartoons later, because this person has kept score pretty well. But this is what this night is all about. We will die. The scores we keep don't mean a freaking thing. The points we collect, the wages we earn, the accolades we acquire, none of it matters. We can't take any of it with us. And it's kind of ironic because right now we're in the midst of this global celebration of the best of the best, right? We are literally giving out medals every night over in Italy. The Valentis are watching it religiously. It's the first thing we turn on in the morning. It's the last thing we look at before we go to bed. It's really contagious. And it's fun to celebrate the best of the best. But the gospel actually preaches a different story. Our lives are not about the medals we earn, nor are they really about those dreaded red pens from grade school. And this is actually what the gospel text is about too. In the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus did the whole Beatitudes thing. He then pivots in the next chapter to this list. And he's commenting on the three basic tenets of faith for Jewish people. Sharing, prayer, and fasting, these would have been things that everyone did. And everyone did in community. Jesus invites the disciples to think about these things in a new way. These practices will not make God love you any more or any less. They do not make you special or important, but this also isn't a list of shoulds either. These are the basic parts of living within a faith community, and they're invitations to meet God where God already lives. Number one, God thrives in generosity, where we remember that we have more than enough, and it is a gift to share with others. Number two, God shows up in spaces of quiet prayer. Did you notice I skipped Numbers tonight? The lectionary takes this part out where Jesus actually describes what quiet prayer is. It's the Lord's Prayer. He actually gives us the example, the Lord's Prayer, in this text. And I cannot think of a better prayer that reminds us we are not alone. We have what we need for this day. We are forgiven, more called to forgive. We are loved. Quiet prayer, daily prayer. The third tenet, God shines in fasting. That one seems a little weird. You know, Lutherans, we don't really fast from things, right? Fasting, you might think of like chocolate, or I don't know, maybe you fast before you come to communion. But what Jesus is actually talking about here is an opportunity, a chance to let go of the things that have such a strong grasp on our lives and be regrounded in the life that is really life. And here's the gospel truth about all of those things. God has loved us forever and will continue to love our dusty selves, even when we hoard, even when we pretend to have it all together, even when we give our lives over to stuff and jobs and labels and status and comparison and point tracking. The reality we proclaim tonight is none of these things will serve us or save us. It's all dust. Doesn't matter. We are dust. But our dust doesn't need to cause us shamefulness or guilt. It's how we were designed to be. Finite and fragile. Limited and frolicking and joyful. And so, dear ones, tonight I invite you to let go of that clenched fist. Take a breath. Shake it out. Let us take this Ash Wednesday as an opportunity to remember that the points do not, nor will they ever matter. Tonight, together, we honestly lay out our hearts, not to be flogged, but to remember how deep and wide God's love is for us. Remember that the only name that matters in this life, the only title we ever need to care about, is that we are God's beloveds. And so, as you come up to be reminded of this belovedness, as you come forward to get the ashes on your forehead, perhaps you'd like to think about one way you'd like to meet God in this season. Lent is 6 weeks, 40-ish days plus Sundays, a chance to try a new habit, a chance to try on one of these tenets that Jesus teaches us about. And there's lots of opportunities to do that through faith. First, generosity. We are going to bag some apples on March 1st. We could also use some volunteers to help lecture on Sundays because we get these incredibly long gospel readings that really come to life if we get a couple more voices. Sing with the choir. I know Justin would take you. Or maybe put a little more money in the offering plate. We are doing incredible things at Faith Lutheran Church, and we need you to support this incredible ministry. Way number two, prayer. We have a little prayer devotional for Lent. This year we're talking about Matisse. There's one entry per week, so it's not a heavy lift. If you're looking for something that's more daily, there's a Lent spiral where you can write someone or someplace that you are thinking about that day and offer it up to God in prayer. We're also going to do a fun art activity together. No previous experience required. We're going to make these Matisse collages on March 8th and March 15th after church, and I'm calling it Praying with Scissors. You can do it, I promise. Come and pray with me. Fasting. This one, I think, is the hardest one, but it's an invitation to think about, where are we storing up treasures in places that aren't building up God's love? Perhaps it means putting down your phone a little more, engaging less in social media, just simply thinking about what rusts you out, what is stealing your sense of purpose and joy and the idea of frolicking that God invited us to in the garden. Or perhaps instead of fasting, it is adding something that helps nurture you. Learn something new. We've got an adult forum on advocacy this coming Sunday. And we also have this team that is going to provide us brunch. Food. Free food. The fourth Sunday of every month, we are going to have free food, and it's going to be good food. I saw the list for this week. I'm already hungry. I'm ready. But these opportunities to engage and get to know somebody. Fast. Now, you don't have to do these things. Like I said, God is going to love you no matter what. But it's an invitation in this season to meet God where God is already showing up. Because in each of these tenets is the reminder that the points don't matter. These practices remind us of that. In each of these practices, love is multiplied and shared. In each of these practices, we let go of our human tendencies to keep score and store up rusty treasures. In each of these practices, we are reminded that we, even as dust, are created to be cared for and created to care. So in this season, we place our dusty hearts in God's big heart. And there is no better place to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.